and then he banged the other one. It's like that.
All right, we'll call a meeting to order and call for our citizen comments.
What else are we missing besides a coal miner?
Citizen comments, are there any? Seeing none. Aaron Colmar called in, unable to be here this evening because of a last-minute work commitment. Who else are we missing?
Just Brady.
Brady.
We didn't hear from Bill.
Almost like Aaron never shows up here.
All right. Just a point of interest, and Dave, maybe you can follow up or tell us. The county board didn't budget, defeated that 2% joint services raise. What is it? What's the procedure now?
Well,
what do we do?
The way I understand the IGA is that the city, they're not finished with their budget. It depends on what happens when they adopt their budget. If they eliminate it out of their budget, it would seem to be
no issue.
No issue.
Okay, they got extra money over there. Did we get any?
And if it's hold your in breath. The budget,
then we would have to go through the dispute.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything, any other reports from
Supervisor? Just one thing. First of all, I do need to leave, as I mentioned to you. Yes. Seven, I could stretch a little bit later than that. Couple things out of the that came out of the budget, I had them on the top of my head here leading up to this meeting, at least over the last week or so. I don't recall them. I thought I had two for sure. But one in particular, I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the need to address elected compensation. I say address it. I'm not saying up, down, or indifferent. Could be status quo is fine. But I want to make sure we get that.
There'll be a long list of to-dos.
Yeah, on our agenda, and then we make sure we address that. So I don't want to.
I think said we do that by resolution. Yeah. Are you suggesting that we do that fairly soon?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I say fairly soon. Certainly, you know, we can wait right up until the time of taking out papers. That's a year from now. But if there's reason to do it sooner than that, I'm open to it. But certainly, I'd like to address it sooner than later.
By a year from now, you're talking about
December 1st.
We're talking about certainly yeah, for our position.
December or whenever.
We have
Monday after.
Of December 2000.
Because your compensation package is in there too.
Right.
So it has to be
done long before the
well,
paper.
Why don't we
take care
of bringing a resolution in and see where, what we, at least we'll begin with that process.
It could be March when you, April-ish, that makes some difference to me. I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of the fact.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then I'll take a look at what else I was thinking about. I'll mention it next time.
That's it.
Thank you.
All right, why can you bring that up at the next meeting, Bob? Is that your department?
Supervisor Moore indicated he'd like to see something around April, that would be really good for us.
Okay. All right.
That's what you want to talk about today.
That's still ahead of your budget discussions starting for 2014, so I think that'll be fine.
Okay. All right, very good. Approval of the minutes.
So motion
there's
to
a move. Whole series of
additions do all of them?
Corrections. So there's a motion to approve all those listed.
Second.
There's a second discussion. Seeing then, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Next item of the business is the CABA report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich Rodebeck, Director of Finance on behalf of CABA. You have your third quarter report in front of you. I'll go through it, just hit some of the bullet points. On the first page, which is a summary of the quarterly activity, at the top, I just want to mention that we do still have that synchronous system that we're doing our business retention and expansion visits in, and I'll get to that report in just a second. We've also been working, we've seen a lot of interest from entities outside of the state, real estate developers and other entities that have an interest in Kenosha, and as we have noted in this report, subsequent to September 30th, Meyer intends to purchase the Super Value distribution center out there, and we've worked with them and their site selectors for over a year trying to find a suitable location for them. The next bullet point down, the downtown strategic development plan and implementation strategy was completed by the Lakota Group, and it was adopted by the City Council on October 1st. And then just a note at the bottom there in regards to loan activity, the our finance committee did approve a $1.5 million loan package for an Illinois-based manufacturer, and there's some details there on what that company actually does. That company makes their commitment to come to Wisconsin. We will actually then issue our commitment. They're still working out their lease transaction with the building owner. And then if we jump over to the next page, you can see a list of the interviews that I was mentioning were done under our business retention and expansion visits. And that information was added to the report, which is on the next couple of pages. At the top of the first page of the report, you can see we're now over 100 visits. About 60% of those visits were actually CAVA members, so you can see we do it, go out and visit with other non-CAVA members to get a gauge of what's going on in the community as a whole. Just a note over on page two, in the middle of the page there, on that second bullet point, just a comment that about 43% of the companies that were interviewed are seeing an increase in employment needs, so there is some growth there in the market for jobs. And then on the last page of that report, just a note there on the business climate and how the various businesses view the strengths and weaknesses for the Kenosha area. If we jump over to the revolving loan fund detail reports, the first one there you can see is the EDA revolving loan fund, and at the end of the quarter there was a balance there of about $800,000. And on the next page there, you can see a list of the borrowers who have a loan in the revolving loan fund. I'm happy to report that there are no past dues with any of the borrowers. And then just a side note there that the Kenosha Beef loan actually paid off during the quarter. It was fully amortized and came to full term. On the next page, we have the county revolving loan fund. You can see at the end of the quarter there was a balance of just shy of $900,000. The $500,000 commitment there that you see was actually dispersed towards the end of October, which left a balance, I believe, at the end of or beginning of November of about $443,000, and that $416,000 was the commitment I had mentioned that we've got ready to go once the borrower commits to coming into Wisconsin. So at the end of the day, if that were to happen tomorrow, we would have only a balance of about $27,000 left in that revolving loan fund. And then on the next page, again, the list of the borrowers who have loans with the county revolving loan fund. And here again, I'm happy to report that there are.
Can we stop a second?
Sure.
Didn't we commit some money to that and other capital improvements if we needed it or something? $500,000. Am I thinking the same thing?
In 2012, and we did borrow that.
Okay. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. I see. Okay. I guess I missed it. Okay.
And as I said, under the county revolving loan fund, there's a list of borrowers there, and I'm happy to report here as well that there are no past due borrowers as of the end of the quarter. The second to last revolving loan fund is a consolidated Kenosha County. And you can see that there's a balance there of about $1.8 million. And again, on the next page, a list of the borrowers who have loans within there. And I'm going to also note there that Kenosha Beef had a second loan there that was part of a larger project, and that note was actually fully amortized as well, and that has paid off now. The last item is the high impact loan fund, and you can see that there was a balance at the end of September of about $750,000. That commitment there for $250,000 goes with the Illinois-based manufacturer that I had mentioned. They're planning to create 100 jobs over the next 3 years under that program. And at the end of the day, that would leave a balance of about $500,000 there. And then just a note again that the quarterly status report includes for the first project, the Bradshaw Medical High Impact Loan Fund that was made. And they have, their clock has started ticking on their requirement to create those jobs. So as those milestones are met, I'll be filling in that data so you know where we're at from a progress standpoint with that high impact loan. And then that last sheet just shows the high impact loan that's outstanding.
And if I could,
yes.
This is a loan out of the high impact fund?
No, it technically right now it's a grant. If the borrower does fail to meet the requirements of it, then we would do a calculation at that point in time in which they would either be required to pay back that portion of it, or the maintenance requirements over the subsequent 5-year period a larger amount, because they would have to pay that
program. But I just want to make sure that was clear.
I just have it labeled as a loan, just so that we on our books and records have it out there, knowing that it might be something that's due back to us.
Understood. Thank you.
On this business climate survey that Cabot did,
yep.
Can you just expand on some of the weaknesses, quality of life negative?
I guess the biggest one that I hear most about, and Todd and Brian were the ones that were out doing most of these retention visits, but the biggest one I think really is the labor and skilled workforce availability. Mm-hmm. And I have actually heard a lot of those comments, too, as I go out and do my site visits as part of the portfolio management of the revolving loan funds. And I always am hearing that within the county that there's not, like, enough CNC operators or people that can be running the heavy machinery that's out in some of the plants like Lakeview Corporate Park. I'm not quite sure what the quality of life issues were raised. Because that would probably be in the detailed report. I could get some of that information and bring that back to the committee for my next report to let you guys know what was conveyed to Todd and Brian.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. What about government services? That's a weakness. That's also a little, what does that mean?
I'll have to look into that and see what specific details were provided and come up with what the detail was that made up that 11%.
And business climate.
That might also be issues with getting permits to do things. So
the government services?
Yeah, that could be part of that. I'm not going to
surprise. It's going to be what it is. Yeah.
So I would have to look into that to get some more detail for you to bring that back to the committee.
I think those would be worth talking about. Those weaknesses. I think we all understand the positives, but
sure. I can get something more detailed to maybe put together a small report on the weaknesses so that you know what was said.
I'd like to see that information and potentially present it to the board, full board at a monthly meeting.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about that. Apparently everybody doesn't get treated like Gordon Foods did in the scheme of things. I think if you interviewed Gordon Foods, you wouldn't get that kind of result.
Uh-huh.
But obviously there are some issues if we delve into it deep enough.
Can you bring that back to the next committee that we have? That meeting would be what day?
It wouldn't be until January.
Okay.
We usually don't meet in December unless there's a
January what the day?
I can coordinate.
Maybe you can come back, though, and be on the agenda and talk a little bit about it as opposed to just a report.
January 10th.
Yeah, I think we'd be real interested in stuff like...
Pardon me?
When's our board meeting in January?
The 15th, and then there's one. I mean, it would normally fall on the 1st. I'm not sure when you're going to have that.
On New Year's Day, you mean?
Yeah.
So what did Ange again?
The meeting that Rich would come to would be January 10th.
Is that all right with you?
Sure.
All right.
That should give me plenty of time to delve into that and find out what the reasons were.
Mary, do you know what they're doing for the meeting of January 1st?
I don't, but it's probably going to be the second, Wednesday. Depends on what they have. If there's not a lot of information to bring to the board, they may go to the 15th. So.
Would the finance have to meet sometime in December?
Committee meeting.
No, we don't need to meet in December.
Okay.
Committee meetings don't meet at the end of December, then there's really not a lot to bring forward to the board on that first week in January.
Yeah, we usually don't meet in December. Unless you want.
No.
I think we'll put that on as a feature item there and appreciate your assistance. And any other comments or questions? Anybody? No?
Just a motion to accept if you need it.
All right. There's a motion to receive the report. Is there a second discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you for coming in. We'll see you in January. Okay. Yes.
Good job.
Mary, can we back up? One thing that I meant to bring up, not tied to the budget, but the article in the paper on the casino.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And while all of that sounds real good, the absolute overriding cloud of that whole thing is they still don't have a developer. So I would like to. I want to make sure we stay on point with that. And Joe's here, so I'll mention it as well, and that can be shared in the Corporation Counsel's office. You know, I asked the question when they were here last, very specifically prior to bringing the most current developer they had on board. You know, I'm just not comfortable moving forward without a developer who has the wherewithal to get this thing done. So when all these approvals come in January, if there's still no developer, I want this committee and the board to be prepared to take a position on that, strong and forceful, that, you know, this is not building a 10,000 square foot strip center where you're going to have a couple of tenants go in and out. They need to show us the proof that they can do it. They can develop a $1 billion development, and they have the wherewithal to pull that off. And right now I don't see it, and they still don't have a developer on board. We need to be aware of that.
Good point.
So I'll continue to monitor that issue.
All right. Next item is the treasurer, Terry.
All right. The designated depository resolution that you should have before you. I think those of you who have been on finance have probably seen this a couple of times over the last several years. We do this. It's the list of depositories we're allowed to use for various reasons. We've updated the list, first of all, because, as you may know, several banks have changed their names or have merged recently, so we had to make the resolution reflect that. We also wanted to add Associated Bank on there. They have a potential option for an investment pool similar to the state investment pool that's fully collateralized that may offer us 10 basis points over what the state pool is currently offering us. So we want to have it out there as an option if that shakes out and ends up working out.
It was distributed this evening, I believe, with your newer packet.
It's
given to us.
The whole list.
Yeah, it was in the mail. Yeah, it was mailed here.
Does anyone want to look at the original?
So Associated Bank is added to this list.
And all of the other ones are the same that were on there, other than changed titles or merged names.
So
that's what we're dealing with. It's something that we have to do by statute in order to allow us to give any bank money. They have to be on that list. So we're not allowed to, which is why we want to include Associated. So they're on that list if they pan out with the investments that they're offering. Right. So otherwise, we won't be able to do that.
Is there a motion to approve? Or?
Yeah, so it's just an addition, so I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right, is there discussion on this?
A few banks on here who haven't in one way or another been mentioned here or there.
Or the other.
Do we have any concerns about any of that?
Which banks are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess show me one that hasn't had been involved with something.
There probably aren't any in the state right now. Actually, when you go through the list, there are very few.
Yeah, and I guess in intention, not singling anybody out, but there's certainly a few on here who have had oversight and involvement from the feds, continue to be under certain watches, et cetera. Does any of that come into play here?
Generally, no. Everything we have with them are fully collateralized in a secondary institution, not by them. So they're backed up twice. Most of it is also backed up by the federal government. So we're not as concerned as we would be if we did not have it collateralized outside of that. So that's why we make that as a requirement for our banks.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Now that I'm looking at it, First Banking Center, didn't that get changed?
Yeah, we don't have anything with them any longer. They're an old one that's on there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
They're True Stone, is that it? No, they're
Chalmers or something?
Chalmers.
Chalmers now, yeah. And we no longer have anything, so we can actually strike them if you're...
Do you have anything with Bank of Kenosha right now?
No.
Okay.
No.
Was there...
No. Well, they don't meet many of the thresholds that we have for banking as far as the volume and the collateralization. They've never been able to collateralize what we require to be collateralized, so they've never won any RFP for anything with us.
The reason I asked that was because I was told Monday that they were being bought by Associated. Now, that's just a rumor, but it's likely they're going to do something.
Very possible. Associated seems to be one of the growing ones that are merging with a lot of banks, so that's possible.
They just increased their dividend.
Is First Banking Center is now Chalmers?
Mm-hmm.
So
and
there
we don't
is
have
not a First Banking Center.
Yeah, and we don't have anything with any of them, and I actually missed that when we were updating the list.
Well,
so
I'll move to strike First Banking Center from the resolution.
All right.
No second.
They used to be a pass-through for one of the investment companies that we had, but we haven't used that in years, so.
Further discussion? All right, the amendment is to strike First Banking Center. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Anything else on any of these?
Move the resolution as amended.
There is a motion then. Okay.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Circulate this for signature, and then we have Human Services.
Yes.
All right.
My resolution, that. I'd like to mention we had celebrated or recognized National Memory Screening Day the other day at the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and we had 61 people that came for memory screening. It was the first time that we've done it there, and I think it tells you how many people are concerned about memory and Alzheimer's disease. The state is also very concerned about the growth in the number of people with projected growth of persons with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. So they are looking at ways to try to to first of all keep up with the demand in long-term care services that will require, and to try to control the expenditures with that. So they are looking at ways to their goal is to try to keep people at home as long as possible. It costs about $15,000 a year, and according to a recent study in Medicaid and Medicare dollars in Wisconsin, for every Alzheimer's, every person with Alzheimer's disease. So they issued a request for proposals to counties that had aging and disability resource centers. And based on a study that they were involved in with three counties and the Wisconsin UW-Madison. And we were one of the counties selected for a $70,000 one-year grant, possibly renewable for a second year, to hire a dementia care specialist who would be an expert in Alzheimer's disease and dementia, to be able to work with individuals and families to help them plan, to develop a safety plan, a crisis plan, to help them organize a circle of care around the individuals, to bring family members together. It's one kind of a gap in services that we haven't had. We haven't had staff time to be able to do that. There's also another very small piece of the grant that was a required component that Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services will be involved in, which it's called a LEAPS program, and it's a program that's evidence-based to help people to reduce some of the symptoms associated with Alzheimer's disease and to help them remain at home longer. It involves volunteers seeing the individual, providing respite for the caregiver, and some exercise for the person with dementia. They have found with people in early stages of dementia that with certain exercise that they can actually improve function and it helps with behavior, and they can stay at home longer. The program, it's a grant-funded program. As we look at these, we think, we will at least help the people that can be helped during the period of the grant, and hopefully we'll have some we'll learn some lessons or from the experience that we can incorporate in our everyday work.
Right, very good. Questions? Discussion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion to approve. Is there further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. I mean, neither.
Has this been approved by Human Services?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
Because of the timing, they did, the chair did approve. It's one of those grants that start the day after you are notified about.
Thank you. The next item of business is the county clerk, Mary.
evening, Chairman Rose, members of the Finance Committee. Did everybody receive a hard copy of the resolution?
Gotcha.
I know we had emailed a copy, but we weren't sure we had hard copies made up. I just want to make sure you all received one.
Yes, this is the property that was discussed.
We have brought this before you previously. We did not pay for an appraisal, but an appraisal was done on this property by a real appraiser, and they found the property. You can see by the pictures and stuff that are in here, even though they're not very clear pictures, the property itself is only being appraised at $34,000. And the amount that's due is actually a little over $20,000 as far as interest penalties and the other costs that we've incurred since we've taken the property. The consensus is between the Treasurer, Corporation Counsel, and myself is that it really wouldn't be a sale back to this person. It would be a tax deed back to them. We would just do a transfer of the deed. I have his bank statement here. I had his caregiver come in with it to just show that he does have the money. He has $110,000 in the bank. He does have someone now that's going to be in charge of his finances for him, and that they promise that the taxes will be paid in a timely manner from now on. This cost of $20,000 also includes 2012 taxes, so those will be paid right away, immediately. If we don't go do this, then we are going to have to start the eviction process with him. I've got Corporation Counsel here with me tonight. The 30th of this month is a court date for him. We'll have to go through the eviction process with the Sheriff's Department, which on our last property cost us $6,000. So if we start adding that cost into the cost of what's already owed, we're going to be up to what the value of the house is. Plus, then we'll have to sell the house, and we probably won't get our money out of it at all because the houses just aren't selling. And from the condition of this house, we'll be lucky if, I mean, the last houses we sold $130,000 house for $60,000, you know, so. With that much work that has to be done in this house, the condition of the house, that he is still living in this house, that, I mean, I would highly recommend that you pass this resolution tonight and bring it before the board so that we can turn the property back over to him and get our taxes paid.
All right, discussion?
I want to move that we approve it.
Is there a second?
And if you look at any of the properties, second. If I can, Mr. Chairman, if you look at any of the properties that are for sale that are like on Home Path and stuff, this one is probably, we'd be lucky if we could get anything for it, because once you tax deed it, you got it. So we're better off. This is a good deal for it, really.
Love those people in those homes.
So. Especially if you're looking at what this is inside. I mean,
well, and we did sell all the homes we had. The last one we just sold last week over the counter for $12,000. So, and that needed a lot of work, too. So, and nobody was living in it.
That's fine. Yes, Mark?
Just two questions. One, what are we going to do? Who's going to be on point to get this property cleaned up?
I mean, as far as the exterior of it and everything else?
When you look at the photos... Obviously, there's got to be a commitment. There's got to be a commitment somewhere to make sure the property remains livable, or we're going to be right back where we were.
Well, he actually pays his taxes. Apparently, what happened was he was paying his brother in cash to pay the taxes, and he was doing it for quite a few years, and then in the last 4 years, he just kept the money, he didn't pay the taxes. So that was part of it. His caregiver is going to be taking care of him now, checking his mail and doing things, so there's a possibility that the property will get cleaned up. I would say the exterior of the property is up to the alder person in the neighborhood.
Maybe it becomes a city
issue. The city issue then, right. It's not our issue anymore.
The only other question I have here is it states the county on the last whereas first page, total acquisition disposal of the property, which will total $20,730.49 if paid by November 26, 2012. So we will not transfer until the payment is made.
Correct.
That's all. Obviously, this is the right thing to do.
And he'll pay the $30 transfer fee, too, besides just add that in there.
So I'm supportive.
All right. I'm also glad that there's an appraisal attached here, and I'm very familiar with the appraiser, and I have pretty much confidence in her abilities to... And probably did all these photographs. So I'm in favor of it.
All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All right. Thank you.
And
I
agenda.
I can distribute the bills.
All right, bills are going to be circulated here. We're at the audit of the bills now. We have a report, finance committee, our finance.
The only report that I have is the normal general fund report. And you can see that we're tracking just a little above the closeout at the end of 2011. We closed at about 8.3 million. We're looking at about 8.5 million. The surplus for health insurance has been coming down a little bit, so it's at about 800,000 now. Sales tax is holding steady. Workers' comp, we bumped that up a little bit.
You got to leave, Mark? You want to get? Want to go first?
The deficit that we had forecast for the sheriff, if you remember a few months back, it was a million. It's down to 650 now. Human services is at 495. We're holding that tax delinquency number steady, but we'll evaluate that in January. You'll have a closer number. And that's and then remember, we're also absorbing the settlement for the health department in this. We saw that before, but it's worth remembering. So,
Dave, I thought the sheriff and the health and the human services were mitigated.
The sheriff, I don't think they ever reported that that was mitigated, but with the human services, if you look
human
at
human services, did for sure.
Yeah, it is. If you look at the 495. And then offset that with the indirect cost, and then the Brookside, that's what mitigates it.
They weren't doing it on their own. They were doing it with the help of other human services.
Well, if you branches. Look at the whole department, human services, we wouldn't have the surplus in indirect. And another thing to remember is inside that health insurance number, some of that gets allocated out to Brookside and out to the other agencies and the human services. So when you put that all together, they're probably really going to close at a surplus when you look at their accounting in the audit.
If you had the 185 Brookside and 168 indirect costs, so you don't, that doesn't
it's pretty,
fill the gap. It's
well,
close,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's short.
And then health insurance is another item. When you look at their funds in the audit, based on how things are going, unless we have some big changes, then you should see them being in the black in Fund 200 and Fund 600, which are the funds we use to account for the department. I think they'll end up closing in the black. And it is correct that we did report that, and we continue to report that.
You don't see any major changes between now and the end of the year?
Well, the health insurance, that surprised me a little bit that it started. Now, this is through the first week in November, and maybe people are using it more because they're going to have to pay more next year. I don't know. So.
Yeah. So you're going to have them operations idea. Now?
Sure.
Getting their teeth fixed and all that stuff?
Yeah.
I think you'll see a spike in the...
I can tell you for sure about the teeth.
I would.
Definitely going to be.
You'll see a spike in the use of the Flex account, the kind of contribution. We didn't
have anything left.
13 or 12.
Contribution's gone.
No, the Flex account.
Yeah, the Flex account contribution was gone.
In 12?
No.
At the end of this year?
Well,
yeah.
Making,
no, but my point is, it's going to burn it all.
And that's the only item that I was going to report to.
All right. Bob, do you have anything?
No, I really didn't, except for that I just commenting on Supervisor Fragra, that as I've been around the county now, since the board passed the budget, I've been making presentations to employee groups on the change. And I would tell you that it's been received professionally. I think that's the best we can ask for. I think that it speaks well of our employees. But as I said before, there's a lot of vendors doing a lot of work this month.
Yes.
I can believe
it.
I wonder why, my gosh, there's a lot of dental in November and December.
They can sell up, they can set up health maintenance, they can have set up these accounts, they got to do it by January 1st or what? You've got these maintenance accounts where they can take out of their check to pay for their dental or whatever they want to pay for it?
Yeah.
So what, they got to do that by January 1st?
They actually have to claim that by November 30th. That's part of the open enrollment process, which is why I'm out on the road every day, you know, helping people
do that. A lot of people probably taking comp time there.
Because they got to do that in order to get their dental approved before taxes. They got to shut down.
That concludes the agenda.
That concludes the agenda.
All right.
Well, on the road, their premium is paid pre-tax.
Quite an efficient meeting, Mr.
Chairman. We knew you needed to be out by 7.
You had to be out early.
Well, I have to be out early every meeting from here on.
Remember how helpful the chairman was.
That's right. You prefaced the meeting saying you had to be out
there. The other part of that is a dental. That would be the
outpatient. You know, that can be fingerprinted.
Yeah.
We have some turpentine we can pour on the BMW.
Most of my jurors
I mean the dental.
I can make sure the door doesn't open up. Or I can take them off. If you didn't have a convertible,
are you done? Are you done? You're done.
Did you know Andrew is the second dental plan, the less expensive one?
What was that?
A less expensive dental plan?
Yes.
I know there was a lot of talk at the committee.
So how does it get less expensive?
It's got, it's called a Prevention Plus plan.
Oh, okay.
And it does the basics, the cleanings and the fluoride treatments and all the other stuff, cavities and pullings, and it doesn't have any sophisticated stuff. So if you are a young family with young kids, it really fits your needs far better, and that has been very well received.
What is the there's a cap on that,
20 and 66.
Is there a cap
$20
on that?
What's
there's
the plus?
There's a cap on it, though, right? I mean, it's a maximum?
That's the thing to do.
It's the max we have, though.
Well, yeah, you got to go get your chop.
Was there a deductible?
Otherwise,
everything else falls apart.
How much?
What's that? If you don't do your teeth, everything else goes down.
$75?
I agree. What do you think I mentioned it for?
Yeah.
But we came up with that.
Brush
your teeth. I think the morning you guys passed the budget.
All right, we didn't vote. There's a motion and a second on the floor, but we didn't vote.
All right. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned.
No, we voted it. We motioned it.
Are you supervising Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure I got the right person.